You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light. Light produces fruit that consists of every sort of goodness, justice, and truth. Therefore, test everything to see what's pleasing to the Lord. And don't participate in the unfruitful actions of darkness. Instead, you should reveal the truth about them. It's embarrassing to even talk about what certain persons do in secret. But everything exposed to the light is revealed by the light. Everything that is revealed by the light is light. Therefore, it says, wake up, sleeper. Get up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Dear friends, this is the word of God for the people of God, and to that we always say, thanks be to God. Have you ever lost power at home at night and scrambled to find a light source? Maybe a candle or a flashlight? Have you ever gotten that flashlight and found that it had batteries, but those batteries were long gone, no longer working? Or maybe your flashlight worked for a little bit and then kind of faded over time and you were without any kind of light source? Not a great feeling, is it? I know that whenever the power goes out in Staley, it's a whole different look. No porch lights on, right? And no windows lit up, at least not many. It might be a generator or two. The street lights are off, and occasionally a car will pass and the headlight will shine a little light, but what a different feeling it is in town when the lights are off. Cliff was telling me just the other day about one of his high school chums that passed away. He was from Mount Storm area, as Cliff was, and Cliff said that he was a pretty popular fellow because he was the only boy that had a car over there at that time. But his car had one little problem. The headlights would go out every now and then. And sometimes those headlights would go out as they were traveling on the road, in the middle of the road at night, and they'd have to find a way to get off safely as they could and kind of jiggle those lights and get them back on again. Now, I had a friend that took things a step further. He just got a kick out of turning off his headlights at night as we were driving, just to shake us up. And I couldn't believe it. I didn't like driving with him after that. I found other people to take me places. But just for kicks, he'd turn off those lights for a couple seconds and kind of freak us out a little bit. It's kind of a scary thing when you're expecting to have light, but there is none there. I think that God created us with eyes that were made for light. We have a sensitivity to light. We're not like bats, right, that are blind but have a unique radar system. I was watching a program yesterday morning on TV on Discovery Channel, I think, talking about caves and glowworms. I mean, it sounds kind of creepy, but these glowworms can actually produce a chemical reaction in their body to produce a light in the darkest of caves. And that was how those glowworms attracted their prey. Now, I won't tell you what they did with the prey once they attracted them. That's kind of gross. But I thought, wow, how creative is God's power? I remember my family going to the Mammoth Cave in Kentucky. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Kentucky to see the caverns. Several of you have. They like to do something there when they get you into those lower parts of the cavern. They like to turn off the lights and let you see how dark. And I'll tell you, there's no darkness like that kind of darkness. Lois Gilmore was telling me that as a kid, she went to the Carlsbad caverns with her family, and they got down into the caverns, and she kind of wondered why her dad grabbed her arm, her hand all of a sudden. Well, she found out they turned out the lights, and she experienced the same thing. You can't see anything down there. The blackest of black. We are made for light. We're in the kind of shape that we've got to take light into the caves if we want to see. I think of those who have trouble seeing. I think of those who are blind and the challenges that they must face. My grandma Cedars became blind later in life, But her blindness was due to cataracts, and she prescribed to a certain religion that didn't believe in surgery. And I remember watching her as a senior adult in her house just feeling her way along. She would open the refrigerator and she would look in, but she couldn't really see, and she would feel for something. And then she would feel her way along the counter to get over to the sink, and then she would work on what she, but it was all by memory or touch. Makes me think about Rose Crawford. Rose Crawford was blind. She had been blind her entire life, but at the age of 50, she discovered a procedure in Canada, and she went to Ontario, had the surgery, and her eyesight was restored. And the doctor said the only thing that she could do when she opened her eyes was weep. Because for the first time in her life, she saw color and form, and it was dazzling in her mind as she viewed life from a whole different angle. One of the strange things about that is that there was this procedure. It was available 20 years before she knew about it. She could have had the surgery at age 30, and it would have changed her life sooner, but she just wasn't aware. And I think about a lot of people who just aren't aware what the light of Christ can do. And there's a lot of folks out there, maybe some in church, that just really aren't aware of the power of Christ's light. Live your life as children of light, Paul said. Live your life as children of light. Maybe we should talk first about what the Bible means by darkness. In the Bible, darkness is lostness, being lost. In the Bible, darkness is deception. And the Bible, darkness is the realm of the devil and the world of evil. Darkness in the Bible is living entirely for self. It's a powerful force, but Paul said that its action does not produce fruit, at least fruit that lasts. It will be overcome by the light. Light, on the other hand, is goodness and truth and wholesomeness and justice. Light is direction and guidance and protection. Light is literally salvation. Light is the first thing that God did when God created, right? What did God say? Let there be light. And there was. And it was good. It was good. Jesus's light is the light of the world. And for those who become children of light, those who trust in Jesus, those folks are supposed to reflect Christ's light. So being children of light really means that we are reflectors of God's light. There was a fellow walking one day in his town, and in his town, the streets were so narrow and the houses were so tall that on one side of the street, they got little to no sunlight. And he noticed as he was walking along a little boy who was playing with a part of a mirror, and he was taking that mirror and shining the light up on one of the buildings. And the fellow stopped him and asked, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, you see that window up on that house?" "Yeah." "Well, my brother got hurt in an accident 2 years ago, and he spends most of his time laying on his back on his bed. And we live on the side of the street that doesn't get much light. So I'm taking this mirror and I'm trying to shine some of the sun's light into his window so that he can see it." Isn't that a precious story? He's reflecting the sun's light. We were meant to reflect the sun, Jesus Christ's light. Now, what does that look like? Maybe the reflection of your light is determined by, let's say, how about the size of the tip you leave at a restaurant? Or maybe it depends on the way that you treat the waiter or waitress after they've messed up your order 3 times. Or maybe it's what you say and do or look like when you're standing in line at Walmart or Kroger's and that little light starts to flash and someone needs a price check. How do you respond to that? What kind of mood, what kind of reflection are you? Maybe the reflection of your light is determined by what you do when you're cut off in traffic. But I found another thing about traffic that's interesting. The speed limit is not followed by very many these days, right? And sometimes you'll get heckled and you'll be treated rudely for following the rules and going the speed limit. And yet people might still come up behind you and you could just see, get going, get going. I'm doing the speed limit. Well, get going. Our response, even to those moments, determine the reflection of our lights. Maybe the reflection of your light is determined by taking the time to listen without judging. I was reminded recently about the need to encourage our young people to make connections with older people in church because the relationship can be invaluable. And the opposite is true. Getting our older folks to take time and to listen without judgment, but just to care and share. I asked Nicholas for his permission to do this. So, Nicholas, would you do me a favor and stand up? I saw a preacher do this, and it really, really kind of impacted me. Nicholas, how old are you? 10. Nicholas, as you are today, I once was. Believe it or not, I was 10 at one time. It's hard to believe, I know. Now, here's the thing. As I now am, someday you shall be. And there's a lot in between that we could share and learn and grow from each other. Nicholas, thank you for being my prop today for the sermon. During our recent council meeting, one of our 30-year-olds said to us, we really need to do a better job as a church, saying to our church family, we're a church for all of God's children, and we want our young people to feel welcomed and active and needed. And I thought, you're right on. So let's do this. If you are 49 years of age or less, I know that excludes some of us, stand up. If you're 49 years of age or less. Now, be truthful. You are 49. I know that. I know that, Mike. You're less than 49. Good, good. Others, stand up if you're... Now, you're not less than 49. Okay, good. Now, stay up for a second. Good, good. There's more back there. I knew. I had a feeling. Now, I just want you older folks, which I'm one of, to look and see our young people. And I want us to give them a round of applause. Would you do that? Let's just give you guys a round of applause. Excellent. Before you're seated, the neat thing about Duff is that this is happening. Most of the folks in your generation aren't attending church. We're glad you're here, and we value you, and we love you. So thank you for being here. You may be seated. Our reflection of God's light happens in church, and it maybe starts in church, but it's not meant to stay in church, is it? It's meant to be shared out there as well. But we welcome one another, and we reflect God's light when we love on each other. Maybe one last thing to think about in reflection of light. Maybe reflecting God's light is paying for somebody's food at the drive-thru before they get there. This happened to me the other day. It was early in the morning, and I'll confess to you, if I haven't confessed it before, I'm slightly addicted to McDonald's tea. Now, I get the half sweet. I just love it. I just have it once a day. I start my mornings with tea often. And I was in line at McDonald's, and I got up to the cash lady at the window, and she said, someone, some young lady, has bought your tea. I'm thinking, wow, some young lady. I'm 50, 51 years old. Wait till I tell Susan about this later. Well, as I get down the road, I get a text from my daughter-in-law who said, I hope you enjoyed your breakfast. You know the first thing I thought of? Why didn't I order the big breakfast? Pancakes and sausage and, oh, but hey, what a wonderful thing. She was thinking about me. I didn't even see her in line. And she paid for my food. She paid for my drink. She made my day. She was reflecting God's light. Maybe your reflection will just change you. Maybe it will help change somebody in your family, somebody at school, somebody at work. Maybe your reflection can change a nation. Back in 2004, Viktor Yushchenko was running for the presidency of the Ukraine. And the ruling party absolutely opposed him at every turn. They disfigured his posters. He narrowly escaped being poisoned by one of the opposing party members. On the day of the election, he was comfortably in the lead, but the state tampered with the voting results, and they came on TV and they announced that Viktor Yushchenko had been soundly defeated. But what they didn't count on was a deaf interpreter using sign language who was in the little box on the TV set. And as she heard this lie, she began to sign to her deaf friends. And this is how she put it. She said, "I am signing to all of my deaf friends right now. The ruling party is lying to us. Viktor Yushchenko won the election results. He is our new president. Tell everybody that you know." She was signing this as they were making their announcement that he was defeated. And you know what happened? All of her deaf friends began to text others and tell them about what took place. And all of these people began then to tell the journalists and the reporters. And before you knew it, there were a million people who descended on Kiev wearing orange. It was called the Orange Revolution. And they got the attention of the ruling party, and they held a new election, and Viktor Yushchenko was given the presidency because of one person who refused to cooperate with a lie, who told the truth, who revealed the deception, literally changed the course of an entire nation. Maybe that'll happen in your life. God uses one person, one small action, to make a difference even around the world. I think that America needs some help. Today's message is called Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Sometimes our culture tells lies. Don't know if you realize that. Sometimes our society believes things that aren't true. Let me give you some examples. Acquiring material possessions is the sure path to happiness. Our culture says that over and over again, but it's not true. True happiness comes from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's true happiness. Here's another one. The church is just a building, not a body of believers. The day that we begin to believe that church buildings are just buildings, we've lost the whole idea of what church is about. The church is a living body. The church is supposed to be dynamic. What happens inside is only a start. What happens out there is even more important, especially in this culture. Here's some other lies. Lies like, there are no absolutes. Therefore, God's word doesn't matter, because everything is subjective and relative based on how I feel and what I think and what my experience is. That's false. God's word is the truth. It is an absolute. It means what it says. It says what it means. And it's the perfect guide for light and life because it is truth. And that's how important the Bible is. Here's some other things that we hear in our culture sometimes. God is dead. There is no God. There is no devil. There is no afterlife. So live as you please. Live for the moment. That's all that matters. But that's not true. Other things like this. Church is not important. Christianity is boring. I think Christianity is absolutely the greatest thing going, because there's such relief knowing that God loves us and has prepared a place for us and will receive us someday. These lies are corrosive. These lies are darkness. These lies will sap the life and light right out of people. And I want to share one more thing that is interesting about our culture. Did you know that back in 2014, the IRS gave tax-exempt status to a new after-school club? a new after-school program called the Satan Club. I kid you not. The Satan Club. As reported in the Washington Post and the LA Times, Treasury Department files obtained by a judicial watch group indicated that Reason Alliance in Somerville, Massachusetts, received a nonprofit status within 10 days of its application in 2014. Reason Alliance operates the Satanic Temple out of Washington State and began an after-school Satan Club initiative in 2016. It's mind-boggling. Let me tell you what their website says. I did some research on this. At afterschoolsatan.com, you'll find the following statements. Donate to help us counter evangelism in schools. The Satanic Temple's extracurricular program for public schools. Educating with Satan. And then the kicker. Get your copy of the Satanic Children's Big Book of Activities at shopsatan.com. Looking into this a little further, there are now 9 different clubs in 8 different states, including the District of Columbia, that are Satan clubs. And if you look further into it, their spokesman will tell you that they came together as a direct opponent to evangelism in schools. Don't believe it's right, and they're there to oppose it. Is this our American culture? Our American culture that was at the very least founded on Judeo-Christian principles. At the very least. Now also allows this. And I'm just letting you know this because I think that Paul's further words in Ephesians hold more weight than ever. Let me read them to you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day comes, you may stand your ground. We are not fighting against physicality, against human people alone. There is an unseen world of spiritual forces at work that would have us and our children. We need to be proactive. The Christian's armor is not just defensive, it's also offensive. And the sword is the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth. And John said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never, ever extinguish it. Amen? I want you to watch this closing video. And then I'll dismiss us in a moment. Overcome it. As Christ shines on you, shine on others. It's that simple. As Christ shines on you, shine on others. Live your lives as children of the light. Matter of fact, I want you right now to turn to somebody and say this. Reflect his light. Turn to someone and say that. Reflect his light. If nobody will talk to you this morning, just look to heaven and say, I'll reflect your light. It's as simple as that. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and the darkness will never extinguish it. Let's pray. Lord, as we conclude our service a few minutes after 12, we pray that your light would have its full effect and shine into the darkest places of our society and of our world and change hearts and minds. We're reminded of your word that says, with man, with woman, many things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So, Lord, shine on us and reflect off of us your love to many. Go before us. Lead us in safety. Lead us in your strength and help us to shine for you. We ask all of this in Christ's name, and all God's children said, amen. My friend.